At 48 past the hour, every other Wednesday, we have the opportunity to look at culture and through the eyes of faith, and talk about the church and how we can be living out our faith more effectively. That's something we're passionate about here in Connecting Faith. Leith Anderson is our guest on a regular basis. He serves as president of the National Association of Evangelicals. He pastored at Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota for 35 years and has written some 20 books. One of them, not too long ago, came out, Faith in the Voting Booth, Practical Wisdom for Voting Well. And Leith, we always love chatting with you. Ted and I look forward to these conversations, so thanks for coming on.
Hey, great to be with you. Isn't today the last day of summer?
Officially, is it?
I think it might be right. Actually Thursday, so isn't it?
Equinox coming up,
The last day of summer.
Yes, but we're already in season and out or something.
So. That's right. Well, and with the changing seasons, Leith, of course, comes the changing fall schedule. We're in the midst of it now and in the thick of it as we're up and running with school and churches, too. It was back to church Sunday last week. Can you tell us again the findings about how most people come to church?
Yeah, well, Ted, lots of research has been done on how and why newcomers visit a church. And, of course, there are multiple reasons, but there is one reason that clearly leads the list. People come to church because they're invited by somebody from the church. That when church members invite their friends and relatives, churches grow. And if people in the church don't invite, then churches tend to stagnate or to shrink. But that kind of begs another question, and that is, why do church people invite others? And the answer to that is they invite because they like their church, because they're excited about its ministry, and that they feel comfortable that if a friend visits, that friend is going to have a positive experience. They won't be embarrassed. The music, the sermon will be good. The visitor won't be discouraged, but will leave with hope in Jesus. But too often, we tend within our churches to feel so comfortable that we really don't understand how difficult it may be for a visitor. You know, I tell pastors and church leaders what they ought to do is try taking off a Sunday and go visit a congregation that is really different. I mean, really different. And experience what it's like to be a visitor in unfamiliar surroundings. I remember one time when Charlene and I were on vacation and we went to this church, and seriously, we didn't know when to sit and we didn't know when to stand, and we messed up the Lord's Prayer, and it was obvious that we didn't belong, and some guy next to her turned and told her that it was obvious that we didn't belong. And this kind of experience, I think, then helps us to understand what other people may experience from us. But anyway, back to your question. Advice for those who want to invite, just tell your own positive experiences at your church. Talk it up for a few months, and then one day say, you know, you ought to come with me sometime. See what they say, just to be natural and comfortable and positive. And one more thing, because this is a topic I really care about, and that is that when newcomers come and like the church, and when they come back again, they are the ones who become the very best recruiters because they have loads of unchurched friends outside the church, and they start inviting them and explaining why they like it and why they're comfortable, and then that gets rolling, and the church starts growing.
Yeah, good reminder again, and to look at our all that we're doing through the eyes of a visitor or a first timer or a seeker is going to make a little difference. I guess probably not the pastors. You didn't ask people to stand up and wear a little newcomer badge or anything, did you?
You know, that may have worked in a different generation, but it wasn't my generation.
Yeah. Leith, I was reading World Magazine not too long ago about North Korea, and obviously that's been much in the news lately, but they talked about the church had a significant presence in North Korea at the time. And I'm just wondering, we live in a day where it just looks so ominous, and think, could God do a great work in that nation once again?
God has miraculously surprised us in the past. I mean, who could have imagined in the early church, the Roman Empire, that the entire empire would pretty much convert from paganism to Christianity? It was amazing. And who could have guessed a generation ago, actually less than a generation ago, that China would now be the seventh largest Christian nation in the world? Some are predicting that by the year 2025, China may have the largest Christian population in the world. And how good it would be if North Korea came to Jesus. But, you know, we also need to remember that North Africa used to be a majority Christian. Today it's not. Or that just a decade ago there were 1.5 million Christians in Iraq. You know, now they're down to about 200,000. So it's kind of a dramatic reminder that politics and foreign policy impact the church and the reach of the gospel. You know, I don't know the solution to the challenges of North Korea. It is extremely complex and difficult. But what we need to do is our part as Christians and pray for God's miraculous intervention and peace. The largest Christian populations in the world now are the United States, Brazil, Mexico, Russia, the Philippines, Nigeria, and China. I mean, it would just be great to add North Korea to that list.
Yeah. You know, talking about, you know, how politics plays a part, there was not too long ago a noted religious leader suggested our president had a mandate to take out Kim Jong-un. You know, it's easy to say things that, you know, maybe kind of off the cuff that really get taken out of context or puts Christianity perhaps in a bad light.
Yeah, well, threatening to take out a head of state is an approach that I would not take. And if it's, you know, the quote that I think you're referring to, there was sort of a claim of speaking for God. And I don't want to speak for God when it comes to taking out another person.
Yeah, indeed.
Mm-hmm. You're talking with Leif Anderson again here, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals on Connecting Faith. Well, last month there was a podcast that the NAE put out, and it was with Thrivent CEO Brad Hewitt. Any money principles you want to share with us that came out of that?
Well, I won't speak for Brad Hewitt, but there is a podcast, you're right, that's available at NAE.net. Thrivent is, I think it's the only nonprofit Fortune 500 company. It's an amazing organization. And Brad also has a book. I'll recommend his book. It's called Your New Money Mindset, Create a Healthy Relationship with Money. In it, he calls for a right relationship with God and with money. But he doesn't exactly in the book tell us, I don't know, how to use a credit card or balance a checkbook. So if you're looking for good money advice, let me go back a little before Brad Hewitt to John Wesley. This is worth memorizing. Earn all you can, give all you can, save all you can. You know, we know that we've got a shortage of good financial habits for Americans. We tend to think on the short term and not the long term. We have too much debt and too little savings for emergencies and retirement. And so greater stewardship, Christian stewardship, calls us to think about the future and spend less on the short term.
You know, speaking of giving all we can, obviously relief efforts continue in Southeast Texas and Florida and the Caribbean. You know, it's not always front page news, and sometimes I think maybe our interest or our prayer support lacks as well. Any thoughts on how we can kind of just keep our minds focused on those needs?
The challenge is that with the internet and with the news cycle, it is so easy to forget very quickly the trauma that people have recently gone through. I was just touched, I think it was yesterday or today, when the mayor of San Juan, Puerto Rico, with tears in her eyes, looked in the camera and said to the rest of America, please don't forget us. You know, we're in the news now, but please don't forget us. And, I don't know a good answer to that because there are so many needs. What we probably need to do is say there is one that God is calling me to. It may be Texas. It may be Florida. It may be some of these tragedies in other countries like the earthquake in Mexico, and say this is the one that God is calling me to give to. This is the one that God is calling me to volunteer in. This is the one that God is calling me to pray for, and trust the Lord to recruit other people to focus on different ones.
And, I mean, that's okay, right? We don't have to maybe feel guilt about that, do we?
Certainly don't need to feel guilt because we can't. You know, there's 7 billion people in the world, and we can't be responsible for all of them, but we can make a difference. And that's why we're part of a community. That's the whole idea of the Church of Jesus Christ, that no one of us can do everything, but together we can do a lot more than we could individually accomplish.
NAE is got always connections to wonderful resources, World Relief, a ministry of the National Association of Evangelicals, and they work globally where there's great need as well. You can find out more, NAE.net. I did want to mention, too, that I know I think your podcast this month is with Gary Haugen from International Justice Mission, so that would be recommended listening as well, Leith. Appreciate what you do for us and coming on with us. Always benefit from our conversations.
And it's always great to talk to you. You've got the best of topics.
Leith Anderson is president of the National Association of Evangelicals and a longtime pastor and author, talking with us today here on Connecting Faith. And again, if you want to find out more about the good work of the National Association of Evangelicals, you can go to nae.net. If you enjoyed the conversation earlier today with Jim Burns, talking about the first few years of marriage, we'll post that interview on our show page right after the show. So you can check that out, listen to it again, or pass it on to a friend. Go to myfaithradio.com and then click on Connecting Faith.